Thank you, Rachel and Amy, for that beautiful introit that invites His holy presence in this place. My brethren and I humbly greet you in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to this sacred tabernacle where we trust that all have made preparation to worship our God in reverence. It's good to be here. I have read and heard testimonies from those men of the priesthood in days long past who had experiences whereby they were shown that the days would come whereby the saints would be unable to meet in the Lord's house. I believe, brothers and sisters, we are living in those days. And so it is good that we're here today. As a call to worship, I have selected from the 12th chapter of Isaiah, beginning with the second verse through the sixth verse. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall ye say, Praise the Lord. Call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitants of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. Let us continue to praise our Lord and our Savior, the great Jehovah, by standing and singing hymn number 121, The Lord Jehovah Reigns.
Our Father who art in heaven, we have counted a privilege to gather here this day to worship thee and thy only begotten Son, who is Jesus Christ. And Father, we would invite thy tender spirit that even as it was sung here this morning, that it might fall on each one afresh. As we worship thee and thy Son, and pray that our worship and all that we do here today might be done in spirit and truth. And Father, I'd pray that you might be with my brother Rick as he breaks that bread of life, who is this Jesus Christ, who is this light in this dark world, who is the gospel. That we as participants in this service might have our hearts opened, and may they be pricked. And as we leave here today, that we might have a greater desire to serve thee and to be that light that you have called us to be into this dark world. And so, Father, be with us as we worship thee this day. is our prayer. In the name of our Lord and Savior, who is Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Amen.
As we would consider our offerings to our Creator this morning, I would ask that you would bow with me in prayer. Almighty God, our gracious Heavenly Father, we call upon thy name this morning in humbleness and meekness, recognizing, dear Lord, that thou art the creator of all, that thou hast created each and every one of us from the dust of the earth, and that it is only through thy Spirit that we are sustained even to this very hour. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for those material things that you have granted unto us. More importantly, Father, we are thankful for the gift of thy Son and for this gospel that has been imparted unto us in these the last days. We are thankful, Father, and words are unable to express the depth of that thankfulness. We would pray, Father, over these offerings that are given, that they might be used in the building up of thy kingdom, even Zion here on earth. And we pray that thy coming, that it might be quick. We ask this prayer, Father, in the precious name of thy Son, our Savior and Redeemer, Jesus Christ. Even so, amen.
For our scripture reading, I also would like to read from Isaiah. The prophet Isaiah, whose name means salvation of the Lord, was the greatest of the writing prophets. He wrote these words 800 years before Christ was born. Our scripture reading begins at chapter 6, verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the post of the door moved. At the voice of him who cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King of the Lord of hosts." Then flew one of the seraphim unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, "Lo, this has touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Then said I, "Here am I, send me."
If so be that
Thank you for the ministry of music. I'm reminded about 32 years ago when this church was being built. I remember I was out there when they stuck the shovel in the ground, had the dedicating of the service. Bob was here. I think we had an accident with the church and roof joist. I remember hearing that Bob rolled the roof joist down to the ground, just like an elevator, just slow. Men were hurt, and some gave their lives in the building of this church. My dad's here. He was a big part of that. The pews you're sitting in, they had part in picking out the colors, the style pews, everything in here. Everything you see, if you feel the softness of it, this pulpit was built by, wasn't it, Bud Logelman? And the sacrifice that went into building of this church that we can sit here and worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. John the Baptist was in prison, and he was waiting to be beheaded for just telling the truth. John the Baptist was prophesied in the Old Testament to be the Elijah that would come before the Messiah and tell the people that he was on his way. And John the Baptist, even John the Baptist, had questions when he was facing death. And he sent two of his messengers to ask Jesus, think about this, are you the one? After all that John had seen, he was his cousin. He was Jesus' cousin, all that he'd seen. He had baptized Jesus, seen the Holy Ghost come down upon Jesus' head. And he still asked, are you the one? You know what Jesus said to him? He didn't say, he didn't explain. Yeah, give him all his credentials. He just said, go and tell John what you've seen and what you've heard. And that's what I'm going to do today, is I'm just going to tell you what I've seen and what I've heard. The things that the Lord has done for me. And I want to talk to you today about being someone's miracle. In 2005, I was working in Mississippi as a petroleum landman. On this particular day, I was calling mineral owners seeking to purchase an oil and gas lease from them. I made a call, introduced myself, and explained my business. And instantly, I knew he was a Southern preacher. His joy radiated from him. He was so full of joy and peace and grace, it overflowed into the phone. He showed me that a simple conversation can make the difference in someone's day. I had never met him, and I had never talked to him again. But I remember that single conversation was a miracle I needed. We can be someone's miracle. My wife and I had the opportunity to drive Patriarch Bill Davies to Joplin, Missouri, so he could give patriarchal blessings. I think he gave seven on that Sunday. And he preached a sermon. I remember him standing there. He was getting older, and he was feeble, and he didn't think he could preach. He didn't think he was going to be able to do it. And he stood up there, and I think he went overtime. It was amazing to be with a man like that. See, I think Bill Davies was a holy man. Have you ever been in the presence of a holy person, who you thought was a holy person? I felt like that around Bill. I think that if I were to, I've often seen people on TV or preacher, that I think I would tear up and choke up and not even be able to introduce myself if I met them. Billy Graham may have been one. Mother Teresa may have been one like that. I don't think I'd have been able to say anything. I just, just frozen. I would have frozen. Because holy people, people that have given their lives in the cause of the gospel and for Jesus Christ. On that trip down to Joplin, it's several hours, I guess, a couple hours, and Bill on the whole way sang songs. And then when he wasn't singing songs, he was telling testimonies. And this is one he told us. He was sitting at a fast food restaurant. He didn't feel like talking to anyone, so he was hiding behind his newspaper. And I remember that. I remember people back then had newspapers, and they'd ruffle the newspapers, and stick, especially they could act like they're reading down at the bottom. They'd just hide. They didn't want to see anybody. Didn't want anybody to see them. Didn't want them to come over their table. And that's what Bill said he was doing. He was hiding behind his newspaper. A woman sat down in the chair across from the on the table from him. And she told him of a catastrophe, something very discouraging to her, that she was crossing the state and driving down I-70. And it was a desperate situation for her, and she needed help. And she was praying. She came to the Oak Grove exit, and the Spirit told her to turn. She did. She took it. And now she's sitting at the table of Bill Davies. Bill was able to counsel and console her and send her on her way. You see, Bill could help her because he had prepared his whole life for that moment. The Spirit of the Lord was in his countenance, and everybody saw it. Bill was someone's miracle every day. My mother told me this testimony. When my brother and sisters and I were young, she had a problem, and it caused her to be depressed to almost the breaking point. I don't recall the reason or the reasons, but it was a very critical time in her life. Our family went to church that Sunday. I don't know if Mom went, but after church, Elder Leroy Botterford, a deacon at that time, think about that. A deacon at that time drove up to the house, tears running down his face and being filled with the Holy Ghost, counseled and encouraged my mother in ways that only a Heavenly Father that knows all things could do. My mother survived that brief time of discouragement, and I can remember like it was yesterday on countless occasions her standing in the kitchen whistling while she cooked. She brought so much love and joy into the house. And I'm standing here today because someone was somebody else's miracle. Lee was my miracle, our miracle. It's not easy to do what Lee did. It takes everything out of you. You're drained when it's over with. But if he hadn't, my family wouldn't be sitting here today. In the 1990s, I would stop by, pick up my coworker, and together we would drive to downtown Kansas City, 1100 Main Street, the City Center Square building, to work at Chicago Title Insurance. On the way every day, we would listen to Christian radio and talk of the gospel and of the church. Bruce and I decided to have Bible classes at work. So we obtained permission from the company president to hold classes for our co-workers. Once a week, we would take turns teaching the class, and every week, people would attend. One day on the way to work, Bruce said, "You know, every day is like Christmas." You see, to Bruce, every day was like Christmas because he was giving the gift of Christ to someone else. And every day was like Christmas morning. Every day can be like Christmas to us because every day we can open the bright, shiny package that contains the message of the birth, life, death, and resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ. Every day we look for the opportunity to give that gift. Take time to be someone's miracle. You will have immeasurable joy. My father raised and mother raised their grandson, Rico, from a baby until he was married and left home. My mother told me on numerous occasions Rico's mother would call and tell him she was coming to pick him up and they would go somewhere together. And Rico would stand close to the window, patiently waiting and looking for her, but she didn't come. Are there people out there standing at the window waiting for you to come and be their miracle? Will you go? I worked with a man in downtown Kansas City and gave him a ride home from work one day, and he invited me in. I had never seen anything like what I'd saw. I was somewhat shocked. His whole house was full of books. Every room and the entire full basement, full-size basement, from floor to ceiling, on bookshelves. It looked like a library, his entire house. I found out he had attended seminary school for a short time and worked in Christian bookstores on occasion, and his hobby, passion, and ministry was books, newspaper magazine clippings, and his filing system was organized, as, like I say, as well as any library. He had read countless books, and he knew volumes of information about Christianity and a Christian apologetics. He called me this week just to visit. And in the conversation, he told me he used to go to Christian bookstores. And if someone was looking for books on a particular subject, he would write down 3 or 4 books on a piece of paper and give it to them that they could consider. Lee Walker is a walking commentary. He knew the scriptures. He knew the doctrine that the Bible teaches. And at any time, Lee was prepared to be used by God to be someone's miracle. And I ask you, why should you come to God? You may ask, why should you come to God? Because nothing is worse than staying away. Come reluctantly if you won't come willingly. Come with doubt if you can't come in full faith. Come in a crisis if you won't come in good times. Come from fear if you won't come from love. Whatever, come to Jesus Christ, our Savior. And after you come, be baptized and tell Him, here am I, send me. And ask, what would you have me do? And He will answer. If you don't know how to pray, ask Him, and He'll show you. If you don't know what to say, ask Him, and He will give you what to say. If you don't know how to teach, preach, or serve, ask Him, and He will show you how. Ask Him who to call, who to write to, who to buy a book for, and who to visit. The Holy Word tells us, ask, and you shall receive. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Our time on earth is a time to seek God, to look for Him, and to feel for Him. Scripture says that, to feel for Him. Like a blind person feeling for directions with his cane. In this life, it is God's purpose for us that we look for Him, we feel for Him, that we may find Him. This life is our opportunity to show Him. We have faith to tell others about His saving grace. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the gospel of love and peace, the message that God Himself to save mankind from their evil designs and decisions of self-destruction, selfishness, greed, hatred, pride, and ungodliness, became a man, lived a sinless life, took upon Himself our sins, was crucified by wicked man, and for our transgressions died and rose again to sit at the right hand of God. And He did not leave us to fight the war between good and evil without Him. He said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And He said, I will leave you a comforter, the Holy Spirit to guide you in all things, and he will teach you how to win this battle. The church is still here. Here we are, thousands of years later. Satan has tried to destroy it countless times, but here we stand and sit. Throughout the world, Christians are gathered at this very moment, worshiping Jesus Christ. Ephesians 4 and 11 says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man and to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more tossed, children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of man and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. When I was 23 years old, Michelle and I attended a Louisiana, Mississippi reunion, RLDS church reunion, down in Pollock, Louisiana. Don't know why we went. Mom used to cook lunch on Sundays, and we'd go to church on rare occasion. And finally, she said, look, if I'm going to cook, you're going to go to church, or just don't come over. And that wasn't like Mom. So we went to reunion one year. Wasn't looking for anything. Wasn't wanting any. I think my brother and I may have been the year we rented a motorhome. We rented a motorhome and stayed with Mike and Susan, and just having a good time. At that reunion was Apostle Russell Ralston and 70 Jack Fears. You may have heard of their names. We didn't have a chance. It changed our lives. One week's all it took. I remember his countenance. I don't remember a word he said. He told a lot of testimonies and stories of miracles that took place down in Haiti, I believe it was. I got home, and we poured out, threw away, paid for things we took and shouldn't have. We sold our motorcycle and paid our tithe. We did everything we knew to do, like Zacchaeus did. Everything we did to do. We said we'd pay it back four times if we needed to. Whatever Jesus wanted. I can remember reaching out my hand one night. I could take you within a foot of that location today. And I reached out my hand one night and I said, just what Isaiah said. Not an exact quote, but I said, Lord, I'll go wherever you want me to go. I do whatever you want me to do, but you've got to go with me. And I'll go. The Holy Spirit was so powerful at that time that I would be, my countenance, I don't know what was going on, but I'd go to the grocery store. Maybe, I don't go often, my wife, I better admit to that. But I'd be I was at the grocery store line one time and somebody, they'd stop me. Are you a Christian? Everywhere I went, people just, are you a Christian? I'd go to the automobile mechanic, be waiting in the lobby or something, and they'd ask me, are you a Christian? There's something about it. There's a countenance you carry when you're filled with the Holy Spirit and you've committed. You've said, here am I, send me. That's all it takes. Just say that. If you doubt, say it. Just say it. Here am I, send me. And he did. Michelle and I wanted to be missionaries. That was the first thing we said when we left that reunion. I want to be a missionary. I want to do that. I don't know if we can do it, but I'm going to try. And we were determined. And you know, I look back on my life, and that may be 40-something years ago. I look back on my life. And I guess we were in some ways. I guess we were. We didn't go to foreign lands, but we directed youth camps. We preached and taught and did about everything. Married and buried and did about everything you can do as a minister. Don't say we were good at it. Some say we were. But I guess we, in our own simple way, we were missionaries. That was fulfilled. And I'm telling you, at my age, you can look back on your life. You young people, you can look back on your life and you can say, wow, how did I get here? He did everything he said he would do. He promised things that he did things for me that I wasn't even aware of. I didn't have the sense to even dream about it where he took us. I was called to the priesthood, and I guess the rest is history. And here I stand. Life isn't easy, but it's worth serving the Lord Jesus Christ. It's worth taking that step, worth taking that, saying those words, "Here am I, Lord, send me." And it's worth being the miracle in someone else's life. On occasion, Apostle Ruster Rawson would stay at my dad and mom's house when traveling through Jackson. And you know, when we were youth, I was born and raised in this church, baptized at 8, and dad would have apostles come through, Apostle Chesworth, he could name them all. Different ones would come through and stay at dad's house. I mean, we had like a 3-bedroom, 1-bath house, a house built after the World War II, and there wasn't any rooms. Somebody would have to give up a bed, move around, and dad would always have missionaries come through. But this was after this reunion. We had been converted, and Russell Rawson would come through and stay at dad's house. And we would sit around the table at dinner time, after dinner, or during dinner. We'd sit around, and Russell would sit. Russell was over to the right of me. And my brother and I talk about this all the time. It's like yesterday to us. We remember it. And Russell would never eat. He would sit there and tell of the gospel. He would share testimonies. He'd talk about what the Lord did for him. And tears would just be running down his face while he's sitting there. And we're sitting there awed. If you've never been around a holy person, you need to do it. You need to find one. Be in that presence. It'll change your life. You'll see things you never dreamed of. I'm convinced if you don't love Jesus, it's because you've never sat at the table, a table like that, in the presence of the Almighty. Do you know there's a God? Do you know it? I know you have faith in God, but do you know God exists? I'm talking about knowing from logic, from science, and from evidence obtained from Scripture and trustworthy sources, as you would by maybe studying any other historical event or person. You can do that. If you don't believe in God, I know I'm talking to people that could be all over the world. There may be some. When you go online, this is my first time to do this. When you go online, there's people all over the world. Somebody over in where there's free access to internet, and some communist country doesn't stifle it, they may turn on this and hear what I'm saying. There may be Muslims, there may be Chinese, there may be Africans, South America, Argentina, all over the world could be listening to me right now. All over the world. That's a daunting task to me. That's overwhelming to think of that. So I'm asking them and you too, those at home and those that are here, do you know that God exists? Have you studied it? Learning about God these days, especially, is easy. We have countless resources. We have Bible apps for our smartphones, commentaries for the Bible, the Book of Mormon. It's online. You can search these things. If you can think of one word, you can search it. You can copy and paste and move around. You can put it on little sticky notes and type it. You can even put it on a little 3x3 yellow sticky note, a scripture reading. I got one in my wallet. And I'm gonna start to look for it, but I'm not gonna bother you with. And you just print it out and you stick it on your mirror, stick it in. Memorize scripture. Memorize it. You young people like Hudson and Roman and different ones, your mind is so fertile, you can memorize anything. When you get my age, it's a little more difficult. I have to call on the scriptures that I learned back when I was your age. But you can do it. You can memorize scripture. We have free books from the library, both in print and audio. Countless books by Christian apologists and scholars. You can listen to the late Apostle Arthur Oakman's 1966 sermons given at the Stone Church to the Melchizedek priesthood called the Endowment Series. Just seconds. Click, click. From anywhere on earth where there is unrestricted internet simply by visiting centerplace.org. I've done it several times. One of my favorite sermons, and I've told some of the stories on it, was the Endowment Series, I believe, number 5, Angelic Ministry. And that's the one where it ends with the angel visit. And it seems the song, "Be gone, unbelief, my Savior is near, and for my relief we shall shortly appear. By prayer let me wrestle and he will perform with Christ in the vessel. I smile at the storm." And on he tells us, it's changed my life. It's the little things that make the big difference sometimes. That has kept me going, to remember that. I've gone over that, I've thought about that, and I believe it. I believe it with all my heart that an angel visited them. I know it happened. If you're not a Christian yet, start with reading the book of Luke in the New Testament and then just keep reading. Then read books like I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist by Norman Geisler and Frank Turek. Cost only $14 on Amazon. Or probably could buy it at the nearest Christian bookstore around or near you. YouTube Christian Scientist Grady McMurtry. Look that up. Look it up on YouTube and see overwhelming evidence that the earth is young, like Genesis tells us. You need to know these things. You need to study these things. And yes, once you know it, you still have to walk by faith. You still got to decide, yeah, I want to do that, or no, I don't. You've got to make a decision whether you want to follow Jesus. Even when you have the knowledge, even if you appeared out there, it says that in the Bible. Guy was it in Haiti, said, hey, you know, telling the angel, go tell my brothers that they don't want to come here. And he said, angel said, no, even if an angel from heaven told them, they wouldn't believe it. Say what? You got to still decide. No matter what you know, no matter how smart you are, you've still got to decide to follow Jesus and make him your Lord and Savior and believe that he atoned for your sins, died on a cross, was raised from the dead, and sits at the right hand of God. You've got to acquiesce to that. I've got to acquiesce to that every day of your life. Memorize the names of the books of the Bible so you can find a scripture when it's needed. Just bit a thumb through there. I know about it, where Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel. Just you can find it. You need to know where it is. Well, Galatians over there near. You need to, that, memorize them. If you drove 75,000 miles in your car, you have been in your car approximately 1,154 hours. I calculated that as highway miles, so it's probably going to be more. If you're driving alone, that can be 1,154 hours of quiet time. Time to meditate, memorize scripture, worship, and listen to the Holy Spirit. Just recently, I drove 51 miles over toward Columbia. Hour and 51 minutes is what it was, over just this side of Columbia. And the entire time, because I say I don't ever listen to music. Now, I'm not saying anything against music. Christian music, that's beautiful. I don't listen to music. I ain't got time. I want to listen to talk radio. I want to learn something. If I'm not learning something, I don't want to do it. And so I'm sitting there, I'm listening. Jesus, the Holy Spirit's talking to me the whole time. Talking to me the whole time. Telling me things. I can't remember a whole lot of. Sometimes I write it down. I keep stuff, try to be real careful. But it's not quite like talking on the phone and driving. So there's a lot, nothing like it. But he will enlighten your mind. The last line of the fourth stanza of our hymn number 284, it would be in your gray hymnals, no longer faith but knowledge in true and sweet accord has the precious angel brought to me. We can know. We can know. 1 Peter 3 and 15, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that is in you, that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Whoever you are, wherever you are, you have a ministry. Those of you here, those of you at home. If you are a widow or a widower in assisted living, you have a ministry. Write a book of your testimonies. Don't take those reasons of your hope with you. If you can't write a book, tell someone your story and your testimonies. That's what Bill Davies did. He told someone else, and they put it in a book. You can buy that book. I have that book. I read that book. It's one you can feel. It's like hearing him talk. It's amazing when I read that book. Buy your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren faith-building books and DVDs. My brother just spent a lot, I'm not going to tell you how much, a lot of money buying all his family the commentaries. Commentaries to the Bible. Oh, they're awesome. They are so awesome. Young men, prepare yourselves for the ministry. You can bring ministry. Some of you are doubting your abilities to minister, but I tell you that you have gifts and talents you are not aware of at this time. And if you will continue in study and prayer and keeping his commandments, you will be led to places and ministry you have yet to imagine. Ask in humility. And keep asking. And the ministry you desire, you will receive. Young women, watch the older sisters of the church. See how they continue to minister to the children, to the saints. Even doing it at times in severe pain. Come to prayer service on Wednesday nights. You wouldn't believe the prayers you get to hear from these people, these women, stand up and share prayers. And it's remarkable. It's remarkable. You're getting to listen in what you're doing. You're getting to listen in on people talking to the Almighty God. You get to listen. Hear what they say. And if you don't know how to pray, listen to them. They'll teach you. They'll teach you what it's supposed to be like. Dr. Herschel Ford tells a story that took place many years ago of a man that had a cancer on his tongue, and there was no other course of action but to remove this man's tongue from his body. Dr. Ford said it was a rare procedure in those days, and it took place at a medical facility at a university. There were professors, doctors, surgeons, nurses, and medical students there to watch the operation. This man had been given permission for them to do so. Right before the operation, the doctor, knowing this was the last time this man would be able to speak, before they removed his tongue, asked him, "Do you have any final words?" The last words that came out of his mouth were these: "All praises to my Savior, Jesus Christ, for all eternity." Then they put him under. What we say today may be our last words. What will we speak? In Matthew 12 and 32, 12th chapter, the 32nd verse, "For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." When a tongue, with a tongue or without a tongue, we will still do our duty and serve our Lord. You and I have a work to do, a story to tell, a missionary journey waiting for us. Will you do it? Will you tell it? Listen, let us, as Isaiah said, "Here am I. Send me."
Almighty Heavenly Father, what a joy it is to be in your house today. What a joy it is to contemplate the Savior that we have to share with the nations. It's in His name that we close this service today. And Heavenly Father, I pray a blessing upon each one of those attending and listening, that the message that our brother has prepared for his whole life may carry forward. Here am I, Lord, send me. And as we face each day, Lord, and we ask for your hand to be shown to us at work, and we know that you will, may we share this gospel with gladness. But before that day comes, when our Lord returns, may we all set out today to learn of your ways and have it burned into our hearts and our souls. Lord, thank you for each one of these people that are here. Thank you for their lives. Thank you for the struggles even. Thank you for the trials that teach us your way. And so it is, Lord, that we pray this blessing upon this congregation, that we may be protected, that we may be healed, that we may always look to you. We thank you for this hour together, Lord, and look forward to this day when we continue to worship you and your Son, even Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.